Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am ending a series that I've done for 4 weeks talking about the power of the cross. And for those of you who pay attention, I've got an album that's entitled The Power of the Cross. There are 5 teachings in it, and today I'm finishing my 4th teaching. So for those of you paying attention, that means what about the last teaching? Well, we've got some restrictions put on us by some of the networks that I'm on about Christmas programming and stuff. And so because of that, I've got a series that I'm going to have to start tomorrow that is going to be a Healing Journeys reunion where we got all of these people that have experienced the miraculous healing power of God and that we've documented and put out on DVD. And we had them come together over the summer up at our lodge in Woodland Park, and we interviewed them. And it was just powerful to hear about how these miracles have changed their life and to see the difference. Like I had little Audrey Scott, the little baby that was born with only half of a heart and no arteries going from her heart to her lungs and minus some of the ribs, and they said that she couldn't live. And yet her parents phoned in and believed God. And the little girl now, I think, is 4 years old, and she was sitting on my knee as we did some of these television programs. And just to see the miraculous miracle power of God and to hear how it's changed their lives, I think it's really going to impact you. So anyway, we start that on our program tomorrow. And so today will have to be my last day. I've got a last teaching in this set that's entitled, It Is Finished, What Jesus Cried from the Cross. And it's a powerful teaching. So anyway, today's going to be my last day, not because I've covered all of the materials, but we are just going to begin something else. So again, I would like to encourage you to please get this teaching. I think it could really, really help. And today is going to be my last day to teach on hell. I know that some people are shocked that I preach about the goodness of God, and here I am talking about hell, which is a place of judgment and punishment. But I tell you, if God is good, and He is, it's one of the things that makes Him good is the fact that this is what Satan and his angels deserve, is a lake of fire. And the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And then those who choose to follow the devil and reject God, there has to be a justice. There has to be a consequence to rejecting such a great salvation. And that consequence is to participate in the judgment of the devil and all of his angels that followed him. And so this is not inconsistent. Matter of fact, I think that this needs to be taught. It needs to be shared. So yesterday I read from Luke chapter 16, and I began with verse 19 and went on through the end of the chapter. We started talking about how that this is a teaching about the rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. It didn't even give the rich man's name because you know what? It doesn't matter what you have in this world and how much recognition you have from people. You're a nobody if you don't have a relationship with God. I know that that's offensive to a lot of people, but I tell you, we need to start looking at things from God's standpoint. And those that reject God, whether it's through absolute denial or they're just too busy doing their own thing, that they are more important than God, we need to have this opinion about them, that you know what? They are a nobody. Anybody who their life is so important that God doesn't matter, they're unimportant. And this is what this teaching does. The rich man didn't even have a name. And yet, I'm sure that everybody in his town back during his day knew his name, and they may not have known the name of the beggar, but the Bible puts a dignity to him and gives him a name, Lazarus. The rich man doesn't even have a name. The beggar was escorted by angels into heaven, into Abraham's bosom, but the rich man just died and was buried. I'm sure in the natural, the fanfare that was made over the rich man was much greater than the beggar, but not from God's standpoint. And then we begin to talk about, it says in verse 23, that in hell, this rich man lifted up his eyes. He was in hell. It was a place. After he physically died, he did not cease to exist. He went to a place. That place was called hell. He had eyes. He could see, and he could see afar off. He could see over into the part that this Old Testament Hebrew, Sheol, He could see into the place of blessing for the people who died. And Lazarus was over there in Abraham's bosom. And he was blessed and had all of these awesome things happening for him. And this rich man could see it. You know, I think that this is going to be another torment of those in hell, is that they can see the good things that other people are enjoying and they can see what they don't have. Man, that's terrible. And yet this man was able to see Lazarus being blessed and all of these good things happening to him. And I'm sure that that added to his torments. But it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I made these points yesterday, but the body parts, he could hear Abraham's response. He had a tongue that he wanted to be cooled. He could speak. He could see. He could hear. He could feel in his body. You are still going to have these same sensations, and it is going to be in a place of torment. Again, the Bible teaches that hell is in the center of the earth, and everything we know about the center of the earth is that as you go lower and lower, it gets hotter and hotter, that the earth's core is molten lava. And you know what? Hell is going to be like that. It's going to be a terrible place of torment. And he wanted Lazarus, he was so miserable that this man who begged for a crumb for him, and he wouldn't even give him a crumb, now he was willing to take just one drop of water off of the end of his finger. What a role reversal. And I tell you, there are some people now that they are just seem to be riding the crest of the wave, and they aren't thinking about the future, and they have no concern about eternity. And I tell you, you do that to your own damnation. You need to confront some things. Have you really made Jesus your Lord? Have you received what He did for you through the cross? Because if you haven't, there is coming a judgment. Hell is a real place. And this man was tormented in this flame. And here's the answer of Abraham unto him. He said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receives your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And so in other words, you know what? You chose your path. You indulged every lust. You took care of yourself. You didn't take care of anybody else. You didn't help him. You know, the scripture says that God will have mercy without judgment, without mercy, who has shown no mercy. If this rich man would have been compassionate and shown mercy and have given love and helped other people that needed it, he might have received something different. But this man, he was all about him. He got all he could and then just sat on it and did nothing, didn't help anybody. And because of it, now it was completely the opposite. And then Abraham went on to say in verse 26, besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. In other words, once you die, and wherever your spirit and soul goes, whether it's to heaven or hell, it is a fixed position. You are never going to escape it. Those that are in heaven don't want to escape it. Those that are in hell cannot get out of it. The Catholic doctrine of purgatory, where you can pray a person out of this place of limbo and have them go to heaven instead of hell, is unscriptural. There is no respite from this. You're committed to it forever. And I know that that's startling to some people, but this is the revelation of the Word. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus is the one who we need to follow His instruction, and He's saying that there was no way to pass from one to the other. And then in verse 27, He says, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Here's another thing about hell. I believe we're going to have a memory. This man remembered his five brethren. He had compassion on his five brethren. He didn't want them to come into this same place. And yet, did you know that there is no way? Spirits that have already died cannot come back and communicate. You know, I could spend a lot of time on this, but there's people that say, oh no, through seances and through different things, you know, there's ghosts. And there is this communication from the dead, necromancers who are able to call up the dead and do things. The Bible teaches on this and calls them familiar spirits, demonic spirits. And I do believe that there is a spiritual realm, and I do believe that there can be things like ghosts and stuff, but they are not departed people. What they are demons. And they may even be able to provide some information that is, you know, so specific to a person that people think this is them. But the Scripture calls them familiar spirits because they are demon spirits that probably caused a lot of the things that happen in these people's lives. Therefore, they know details about them that others don't know. But you are not communicating with the dead. You are communicating with a demonic spirit who is representing and may even have specific information about that person, but it's demonic, and I guarantee you the end result of it is for your own destruction. And this man was not able to send Lazarus back to communicate. Abram said unto him, he says, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And the rich man said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will believe. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Did you know that there's a lot of people that think that if we could just have something really supernatural happen, that this would convince people? Like I have people all of the time. I testify about my son having been raised from the dead after being dead for 5 hours. And I've had people come up to me and say, why don't you go and get some doctor's proof of this? And you get all of this information and you post it on the internet and you somehow or another prove this. Get a doctor to write off on this, sign off on it and verify it. And you prove this and then you get on television and you just make people believe. And you know what? There's people at all time are asking me to do that. But that's not how people believe. It says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You do not get faith by being argued, coerced into something. As a matter of fact, people saw Lazarus raised from the dead. He had been dead for 4 days. He came out of the tomb. It says in John chapter 11, he was wrapped head and foot with grave clothes. The way they wrapped a body that was dead, they put these tissues or linen around you. So his feet were wrapped together. He was like in a mummy and he was raised from the dead. And so he had to have just been translated to the entrance of that tomb. He couldn't have walked because his legs were wrapped. And so they saw a man raised from the dead, translated to the front of the tomb, had been dead for 4 days. His sister said, by this time he stinks. That means his body had already started decaying. And yet he was raised from the dead. And yet some of the people who saw that immediately ran to the scribes and the Pharisees and told them what happened. And they all plotted how they could kill Jesus and Lazarus. There was people that saw Jesus do that and they still didn't believe. You cannot argue a person into belief. It has to come by a revelation of God and it'll come through the truth of the Word of God. And if a person doesn't believe the Word of God, they will not believe though one rose from the dead. You know what miracles are for? It's for people who do believe, and they're like that man in the 9th chapter of the book of Mark who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. They help a person who already believes, and when you see the demonstration of the power of God, it just confirms what has already been given unto you, the faith that came through the Word of God. But it is not a substitute. I remember when there's a man in Woodland Park, Colorado, a realtor up there who actually has been on some of these trips where he went into Noah's Ark, walked inside of Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat, and they took pictures of it. They made a movie about it. They've done some of these things, and he came back. And people think, man, if we could just prove that there was Noah's Ark, then everybody would believe. That's not true. There is documentation. There's pictures. There's people that have brought back samples. And yet, you know what? People, if they don't want to believe, we'll find a way to excuse it. I was just in a service where a man came forward for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was giving instructions about how to receive it, how to speak in tongues. And this man just started speaking in tongues really loudly. And there was a long line. He was down at the end of the line. I was at the other end. But the guy who was with me was standing right in front of him. And when he started making so much noise, he went over. He wasn't going to stop him, but he was just going to make sure that he didn't get out of order or do something. And all of a sudden, this guy started jumping up and down and saying, "I can see, I can see." He'd been totally blind. And I saw him when he walked up to come to the thing, that there were these speakers hanging down low, and he was going to walk right into it. The pastor went over and grabbed him and had to get him by the hand and lead him around the speakers because he was blind. He had cataracts, totally blind in one eye. He could see a little light out of the other eye, but he couldn't see at all. And this man, I mean, it was obvious to every person in that entire place that he was blind because he nearly ran into a speaker and he had to have people lead him by the hand. And he stood there, started speaking in tongues, and then his blind eyes were open. This just happened, I guess, 8 or 9 days ago. And this man's blind eyes were open. He started jumping up and down. He could see. He came up and he saw all of these people. He started describing things. He proved it. And there was people right there that didn't believe it. They saw it and didn't believe it. This is absolutely true, what he's saying. Absolutely. But here's another thing I want to point out. And this shows that, you know what? You remember people. You have compassion on people. You now have a different perspective. This is talking about the rich man. When he was in hell, he now had a totally different perspective. When he was on earth, all he did was care about himself. He didn't care about anybody else. He got everything he could and just didn't share it, didn't have mercy on Lazarus or anybody else. But you know what? When you get in hell, all of a sudden you're going to have a different perspective. This little mental world that you created that excused everything about God and made everything humanistic and it was just all evolution and chance that everything happened, you'll know different than all of that. You'll know the truth. And notice that he also had compassion on people recognizing the train wreck that was about to happen in their life. He knew that they were headed for this same destination in this same place of torment, and he had remorse. Man, he loved these people, and he had remorse over the way he had lived, and he saw other people coming this way, and he had compassion, and yet he couldn't do anything about it. You know what? That's going to be another part of hell, is that people who just spent their life going one way, that when they get to hell, all of a sudden, we will know all things, even as also we are known. We're going to have a different perspective. We're going to want to balance the ledger and set things straight and reach people and help them so that they don't have the same problems that you're having, and yet you will be completely unable to do it. You know, I've actually had funerals before where it's hard to preach the funeral of a person that didn't know Jesus, because you know what? They're in a place of torment. And it just amazes me that nearly every funeral I've been to, it doesn't matter if the person lived for God or not, whether they were an atheist or what, they'll come and they'll say, well, they're in a better place. They're resting in peace and stuff. That's not true. There is a place of torment called hell. It's described right here. And you know what? When you are doing the funeral of a lost person, there's not a lot of real comforting things that you can say. The only thing I've really found that is comforting is to say, if this lost person could speak to us based on this passage of Scripture, he wouldn't be telling you that you need to get a bigger house, a bigger car, you need to win another award, you need to spend more time learning about all of the sports and everything else. But if these people could speak to us from the other side of the grave, I can guarantee you what they would be saying is they'd be crying out, please, you know, accept what Jesus has done. Put your faith in a Savior so that you don't come to a place like this. I can guarantee you that that is what they would be saying. There's people watching this program right now that you've lost people and maybe they didn't know the Lord. Certainly, if it isn't just a family member, certainly you know someone who has died, who didn't know the Lord. And you wonder about what they would be thinking or doing now. I'm telling you, based on these scriptures, what these people are saying right now. I'm speaking for them based on the authority of the Word of God, that family members, friends, whoever, are calling out to you and they are begging you that you make get right with God. And the way you do that is by making Jesus your personal Lord. Romans 10:9 says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from your sins. Saved from the punishment for your sins, which is hell. You get saved from all of this terrible stuff, and plus you get all of the goodness of God and the grace of God, the blessings, the provision of God come in your place. Jesus has already paid for all of your sins. It's not a matter of will he do it. He's already done it. It's a matter of will you receive it. And the way you receive it is by making Jesus your Lord. The word Lord here means that you are making a commitment to him. It's not a promise that you'll never do anything wrong, because you can't keep that. None of us are going to live perfectly. But you do have to be willing to make him your Lord. You do have to make that commitment. And if you fall short, there is plenty of grace, and God will help you get up and go again. But you have to be willing to make him Lord. More than just mouth those words, you have to make a commitment of your life and turn it over and trust him. So you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart that God, that Jesus rose from the dead, that he's alive. He wasn't just a man who died. He was God, and therefore he was able to come back from the dead, and he has now conquered death and the grave. And he has forgiven all of your sins, and you can receive it as a free gift. You can't earn it. It's not based on your holiness. It's not based on you going to church and performing and doing all of these things. Jesus did it all on the cross. He paid for every one of your sins. He suffered your punishment so that you wouldn't have to suffer. Jesus literally suffered hell. And according to those scriptures I read earlier in the week in Ephesians chapter 4, he actually went to hell. And Jesus suffered so that you wouldn't have to suffer. But it's not automatic. He said in Romans 10:9 that you have to confess him as your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And if you'll do that, you will be saved. Jesus will come into your life. He'll totally change your life. And I know that there's people all around the world right now that God has touched your heart and you're ready to make that decision. I just want you to pray something similar to this. I'm going to pray these words. You don't have to say these exact words, but this would get you saved if you would say what I'm saying. Just say, Father, I'm sorry for my sin. I believe Jesus died to forgive my sin, and I receive that forgiveness. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I believe that you are alive and that you now live in me. I am saved right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you believe that, you just became a totally brand new person. Not in your physical body. You're still male or female. Not just in your mind. You still have the same thoughts, but in your spirit, you're a new person. And I've got some materials that we could help you with. There's people that could pray with you and help you. You need to get this teaching that I've got on the power of the cross. It would really be a blessing. And I want to remind you again that this is my last day to make this teaching available here on television. So I encourage you to call that number that you see on your screen. Get the materials. Also, let somebody know that you prayed with me and that you gave your life to Jesus and that you got born again. You became a new person today. You'll never regret it. Amen. Call that number on your screen and also request these materials.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Power of the Cross is available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page.
Let me remind you once again that today is my last day to offer the individual teaching entitled Saved from Hell by the Cross. That's what I've been teaching on this week. And it's also my last day to offer this entire album entitled The Power of the Cross. The individual teaching entitled Saved from Hell by the Cross is a free gift to you. It's a single CD. You can get that as a free gift. My partners have enabled me to do that. Or you can get the entire five-part album, and there is a suggested donation. We ask you to send something, but just do what you can. We'll supply you with the album, but today is my last day to make either of those available. So listen to our announcer and then call or write today.
The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled Saved from Hell by the Cross, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith has been released in paperback. It's available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Denver, Colorado this week for a Gospel Truth rally Friday, December 2nd. In Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 5th through the 7th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance January 19th through the 21st, and in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 9th through the 11th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.
I want to make you aware that we now have our ministry, our Bible college ministry, available on online Bible school. And what this does, it allows you to go at your pace, take as many courses as you want, but you're still in a structured class situation where you have interaction with other students as well as a facilitator. It helps discipline you, but you can go at your own pace anywhere in the world. We have a web address on the screen, and I encourage you to go check out our online Bible school today.